From jet engines to space rockets, telephones to computers, the world has seen spectacular change in the last 100 years, and the pace of progress is getting faster and faster. From electric cars to the metaverse, drone deliveries to climate solutions and genetic sequencing, we're investing in the companies that are not just changing the world today, but are also shaping the future. The Scottish Mortgage Investment Trust, managed by Baillie Gifford. Invest in progress. Capital at risk.
Hello. Welcome to Citywire's The Advice Show, where we're continuing our Top 100 interview series. Today, I'm speaking to Gavin Wood, the newly appointed Managing Director of the Citywire Top 100 firm, Beckett Investment Management. First up, thanks for your time, Gavin, and congratulations on the new role.
Thank you. It's something we've been working for a while, and it's great to finally achieve it. Thank you.
Good stuff. Before we get into the transition and your plans for the future, would it be great to hear just a bit about what makes Beckett unique?
Oh, what makes Beckett's unique? Okay. Well, I think if you speak to all financial services firms, if they're honest with you, nothing of what any of us do is truly unique. I think it's the how we do it that sets us apart from other firms. As far as I know, and I'm happy to be shot down and proved wrong on this, but up until a little while ago, I know for a fact that we are the only IFA firm in the country which can brag being chartered financial planners alongside being a B Corp recognised firm, alongside being a recognised great place to work, top 100 member, and also regularly featuring in your own Citywire top 100 advisors. So there's not many, actually I don't think there's any, this is where you find out there is another one, it might look a fool, but I don't think there's any other IFA firms which can boast all four of those credentials. So what we do is not entirely unique as it is most other IFA firms, but how we do it and the importance we place on certain things, I think, does make us a bit different. And then, so I joined the company some 10 years ago, had a chat with the then MD, Ian White, and we chatted about what we saw as being the ideal financial services firm going forward. And between the two of us, we've changed a lot of what we do here at Beckett's to reflect the evolving nature of the profession. And we've now got about 110 employees, best part of 3,500 private clients, looked after by a team of some 22 financial planners, a very, very strong admin support team. And you said about earlier on, what makes us unique? I think it's the quality of our admin support team. When I look around at some of the other firms, we've got a lot of people here who've been with the firm for many, many years, and their experience helps the younger people come through much quicker than they could do potentially in some other firms, which for us is fantastic. It enables the planners to just do a really, really good job of looking after the clients that we service.
Nice. Interesting to think about what kind of makes an ideal financial planning firm. What did you and Ian kind of come up with for the answer to that question, and how have you kind of put that into action at Beckett?
Well, what we said was that the strength of anything really comes down to keeping clients happy and the strength of relationship between the financial planner and the client. And the more time you can create for a financial planner to be in front of clients, helping them, answering queries, having that rapport building, and the more you can do to reduce the amount of time that a financial planner sits in front of a laptop trying to reinvent the wheel on umpteen different cases for people, that's got to be the strength of a successful firm. It's all about relationship management. So what we've set out to do is, as I say, using the very, very strong support team in the background, we want the financial planners to spend as little time as possible doing the bits they shouldn't do. You know, so we've got dedicated panels for investment fund and provider research, headed up by one of my colleagues. So the financial planners can give solutions to clients with a level of consistency across the piece, so that we sort of keep our consumer duty obligations in place, but without them having to do all the hard work themselves. So Ian and I ages ago thought, okay, the more we can do to keep planners in front of clients and away from their laptop, the better. We've got a team of wealth managers here who look after getting close to £1 billion worth of assets that our clients have entrusted to us. But we do have external solutions. So with our time horizon planning, where we separate out client assets into low volatility, medium volatility and high volatility investments, what we've tended to find is that the assets finding the way to Beckett Asset Management tend to sit in that middle pot, the middle volatility pot. And increasingly, we're using other providers, other MPS strategies, other smooth fund solutions for both the low volatility and then the much more punchy longer term money. So we are truly independent, and BAM, you know, Beckett Asset Management, BAM as we call them, you know, they think like their competitors. Only today actually we had an order advisor gathering where BAM presented to us as if we were a bunch of external customers. You know, they know they've got to pitch and perform well and be cost effective. Otherwise, we just face the accusation that we're a vertically integrated firm who, regardless of what the question is, the answer is always Beckett Asset Management. And if you start going down that route, you lose your independence.
That independence theme is an interesting one, and one I know crops up a lot when talking about Beckett's. I think that kind of feeds into the question of culture and the kind of culture that you create at Beckett's. I know you've worked at a kind of a small handful of other advice firms. Could you talk to me a little bit about Beckett's culture and how it's distinct from where you've been before and from what you know of your competitors?
Sure. Well, the culture at Beckett's is not dissimilar to the culture at the firm where I first started. So without boring you too much, I started 2nd of June 1997. I started at a firm called Cook Shepherd. That firm and the people I learned from there, it was brilliant, because the MD at the time was also a financial planner and my immediate mentor. They guided me, and as my career grew, they gave me the autonomy to do things how I wanted, and they allowed me to basically just grow in the role without micromanaging me. So because I was fortunate enough to have people spend time and effort with me, but without looking to control every element, that kind of thing sticks in the mind. So when I came to Beckett's, spoke to Ian about, you know, what autonomy do you give planners? How do you allow them to have that sense of purpose and meaning that I think everybody wants in a job? And we said to each other that was how we wanted the financial planners here to behave. You know, give them the tools, give them the framework, let them know what's expected of them. But within that, let them flourish in whichever way is best for them. So I then contrast that to other places where I've worked and some other firms I know of, where it's very much a top down. You will do as I say, you will do it how I say it should be done, and I will check everything you do mentality. That doesn't allow people to flourish. That doesn't allow people to become the best they can be in whatever their particular route is, be that, you know, want to go into the power planning route or wanting to go into the financial planning route. If you're too controlling, I think it shows a lack of trust in your people. And if you trust the people you work with and the people you employ, you let them crack on and do the job. Obviously, you need systems and controls in place. I'm not saying it's a wild west over here where everyone can do whatever they like. Far from it. You know, if you can think of it, we've got a process for it. But it allows people to know where they can go, what they can do. And the guys here really, really love it. I think another thing that sets us apart in terms of the culture is we work very collaboratively. Most of the clients here, well, obviously they'd have their dedicated financial planner, but they'd also know at least one, possibly two other financial planners as well, because it's very important to us that, you know, should anything happen to the financial planner and they're taken out of the picture, the clients deserve that continuity. The clients deserve to know who else they can talk to about their affairs, because whilst we like to think we're extremely important in their lives, you know, there's nothing more important to the client than how changes here affect them. So we work very hard over, say, the 10 years I've been here, to make sure that clients know more than one person at the firm to give that continuity.
It's interesting, all that. I think also in the context of kind of young advisors, because there's a lot of hand-wringing in the industry about the kind of aging average age of advisors and the lack of talent coming through. I know that there's a big emphasis at Beckett's on bringing up young talent through the academy you guys have. And I wonder how kind of that emphasis on autonomy and kind of, I don't know, giving young advisors a sense of, I don't know, influence and not just kind of keeping them on a tight leash, how that encourages people through and kind of into the profession over the longer term.
Well, I can't speak for other firms, but I know that, say, here at Beckett's, we have a very tight training regime for people as they join us. And it's all grounded in what we expect of planners with regards to the culture of the business. You know, this is how we do things at Beckett's. You know, basically, it's all about integrity. It's about integrity and competency and professionalism. You know, do what you say you're going to do, don't tell lies, and as much as you possibly can, get things right first time. But at the same time, we don't come down and punish people if honest mistakes are made, because all of us make mistakes from time to time. And I've seen it in other firms where someone makes a mistake, they're absolutely crucified for it. Confidence just goes through the floor and they never recover from it. Or if they do recover, it takes a long, long time. So we give all the planners, the younger guys coming through here, or the trainee planners, I should say, very extensive mentoring. You know, there's a number of the guys here who've been around for a while, are really, really nice people alongside being great financial planners. And they enjoy putting an arm around the shoulder of the younger people and saying, right, okay, yeah, you might want to consider doing things like this. And here's how we do it at Beckett's. And it's more about the how we do it and the behaviors than it is what's in the textbooks. Because anybody can learn stuff in a textbook, pass exams, but the textbooks don't teach you the culture. And although we've grown a lot, well, grown a lot since the financial services element started, but over the last 10 years, you know, we've grown a lot. We've still kept the culture. It's not a competitive environment out there. When again, you look at some firms where, you know, planners jealously guard clients from each other, and it's all about who's got the most clients or the biggest size of funds under management, and you know, who's effectively got the best car in the car park, all that nonsense. Here, it genuinely is people who want each other to succeed, and yeah, we just relish bringing the younger guys through.
In terms of finding those younger people to bring on board, or in kind of hiring more broadly, and I suppose the integration of firms that you've acquired. I mean, you've said before that you kind of high with the philosophy of, would you trust this person to give advice to your parents? How do you kind of apply that when you're bringing new firms in, and how hard is it to find people like that?
Well, first of all, well remembered on me saying that the last time we spoke. So well remembered. No, it sounds a bit twee, but it has always been my yardstick. You know, would I trust this person to give advice to my mum and dad? You tend to get a very good sense for people. You know, when you've been around as long as I have, you tend to get a very good sense for whether someone is just telling you what you want to hear or whether they actually believe it and mean it. And you know, if we're looking at taking people on, then we take them on, younger people. If we take younger people on, they tend to come in and work on the support side, the trainee power planner side, and then work their way through from there. So we get a very good ability, sorry, a very good opportunity to road test them. And what I mean by that is you can take them into a client meeting, and then after the meeting, say, right, what would you do? You know, how would you approach this? What's your thinking? And it's a very good way for us to start to gauge if people are approaching it in the right way, or if they're fixated on, well, if I land this client and I get the FUM under my belt, that means I get fees of this. You very quickly recognize those people who haven't quite got it. And very often you need them on board in that support role to road test them. And we're very fortunate, you know, we are approached a lot by firms who, as part of their own natural cycle of things, are looking for a home for the next umpteen years, or for their clients, or some smaller companies where they think, you know, they no longer want to worry about the compliance side of things and the regulatory side. They want to just focus on being, you know, the damn good financial planners that they are, and they want to go to someone like us to effectively look after the rest of it for them. And with those people, yeah, we meet with them a lot. Never underestimate how incestuous this business can be, particularly in this part of the world, in East Anglia. Everybody knows everybody else. And a lot of it is we just sound people out. You know, the professionals that we deal with, you know, do they deal with these other IFA firms? You know, even the investment managers or the product providers, you know, what's their opinion of the firm that's approached us for a chat? So we do an awful lot of due diligence and background digging on the characters and the personalities and the culture of a firm in a way before we get anywhere near the financials of, well, how could a deal look? So it's, and it's the part of the job that we really like, I have to say. When you find those people, you think, crikey, this person's really good and they can help us elevate Beckett's a notch further than we already are. You want those people on the teams. That's really exciting.
I think another way that the kind of all that cultural stuff manifests is through the kind of sustainability stuff that you guys do. So you're a B Corp, mm-hmm. and you're also a signatory to the Treasury's Women in Finance Charter. I was wondering if you could speak a bit about the importance of those things. I mean, with everything that's going on the other side of the Atlantic, that stuff is kind of moving out of fashion a little bit.
Yeah.
In some quarters. So I wonder, yeah, if you could speak about kind of your commitment to that and what that means.
Sure. Well, we were one of the first adopters of B Corp, and we were certainly one of the very first signatories in the Women in Finance Charter. The reason both of those were important for us is it's all well and good saying to people, we do the right thing, we believe in this, that, and the other, and we act with integrity. The challenge should always be, okay, well, prove it. Mm. You know, prove that you do these things. Mm-hmm. If all you do is act on anecdote and hearsay, and well, we think we're doing a good job here, you're never going to progress. Mm-hmm. So for us, it was really, really important to sign up to these charters and to B Corp to actually say, this is what we believe in. This is the direction that we want to take certain aspects of the business, and we've made ourselves accountable. Because I think the moment you sign up to something and we tell all the staff, we tell all our clients, you know, we make ourselves accountable to people, so that if we as a leadership team don't deliver on it, we should rightly be held to account. Controversial comment perhaps, but at the moment, everywhere you look, everyone's saying, oh, we're a B Corp this, we're an ethical that. Okay, well, are you really? You know, challenge yourselves. What is your B Corp score? You know, can you improve on that when you get around to the renewal and the next time you come up for it? So for us, it's more than lip service. It's we hold ourselves to account. I mean, we had with the Women in Finance Charter, for example, you know, it's a goal to have 50% of the management positions and senior leadership positions as females. You know, back in 2021, we dipped to 30.8% in that ratio. And we said, oh, crikey, you know, how has that happened? What were we not looking at? How did we not spot changes in personnel to deviate away from the 50-50? Mm-hmm. We're now back at the 50-50 and we're really pleased of it, but it's sharpened us up thinking, right, okay, what could potentially be on the horizon that would cause us to either go backwards on B Corp measures or backwards on our obligations for Women in Finance Charter? And it constantly gives you a new set of threats to be looking out for.
Moving slightly on to another topic, mentioned at the top of the show that you, I think, were a month into the role of managing director or something like that. It'd be great to hear a bit more about kind of the transition process from Ian White, the former managing director, how that process was kind of worked out, and your kind of plans now you're in the helm.
It's been quite a while in the making to leading the team and having a real chance to shape the company going forward. So we agreed a way in which I would, over a period of time, pass my clients on to the other financial planners within the business. So we had an all-staff presentation one April where I stood up and said, this is what's happening with me. I'm going to be passing my clients on to the other financial planners. And overnight, I became the most popular person in the business with the other financial planners, who all thought, oh,
I
crikey,
bet.
we fancy a slice of that pie. So that happened over the period of about 3 or 4 years, that passing on of clients. And then Ian and I looked at the future and thought, okay, the role of head of PC has worked very well. Ian has made no secret of the fact that at some stage, he would want to exit the business entirely, but he wasn't ready to do it yet. So we thought, right, okay, let's have a further transition. So I stepped up to become managing director. Ian has become executive chairman. And the way we work together is that Ian is focusing on some of the acquisition opportunities that we have to talk to the firms who approach us, and pretty much leaving me to get on with everything else. And had we suddenly jumped into that 4 or 5 years ago, that would have been extremely daunting. But the coaching I've had from Ian, external mentors as well, has been invaluable to give me the tools I need to then fully step into Ian's shoes at this stage and run areas of the business which, when I first started out as a financial planner back in 97, I never thought I'd get anywhere near.
I know it's as you say, it's kind of more Ian's focus on expansion and acquisition, but it would be great to hear a bit about those kind of plans going forward, because for context, Beckett's was acquired by the private equity firm Foreside back in 2021, and has been steadily growing since. And this year, I've already acquired Greenrose advice firm. And yeah, so going forward, what are those expansion plans, as far as you can say?
Well, I could give you full chapter and verse. Can't mention any firm names, obviously, but I can tell you exactly what the plans are.
Fantastic.
So we were very fortunate. When Bob was looking to exit the business, he was courted by all sorts of people, all sorts of firms wanted to speak to him. He and Ian did their due diligence and eventually settled on partnering with Foresight because of the way that Foresight said they were going to own the business. Wasn't going to be the traditional PE of come in, buy something, grow it, make a turn on it. And again, I don't know how much you know about how we are owned, but we're held within the Foresight East of England Fund, which is the phrase is cornerstoned by the Cambridgeshire County Council Pension Fund. And the brief for that East of England Fund, similar to the Foresight's other regional funds, is to help firms in the area grow, prosper, and get to the next level of expansion whilst not losing their culture and whilst providing sustainable, safe, secure jobs for people in the area. So Foresight as a parent for us has been brilliant because they've come along, they've made an investment in us. That investment has helped us to speak to other firms who want to have a nice home to go to. But it hasn't changed our culture. Foresight were very, very clear that they wanted the leadership team here to continue to do what we'd always done. So we consider ourselves to be an aggregator. We don't consider ourselves to be a consolidator. We're an aggregator because people who do the job in a very similar way to us have shared cultures, shared aims for clients. We can now have conversations with them about having them become part of our business. And yeah. Offer a good safe home for their clients. So our plans for expansion, we have not got any numbers against the number of firms we want to buy. So we're not saying, right, in the next 12 months we want to buy four firms. In the 12 months after that we want to buy another four. None of that. It's a case of, right, who are we having conversations with who is going to improve what we do as a company? Can we improve them, and can they improve us? And if the answer to those two questions is yes, then there's a conversation to be had about the wider merits of joining forces.
Interesting, because I mean that kind of leads me on to my next question, which was going to be about the kind of broader environment of consolidators. There are quite a few about. So I suppose if you're an IFA and you're looking at succession, you've got quite a few options. From that point of view, what is it about Beckett's that what is the kind of pitch to that IFA that's looking to go somewhere else?
Okay, so before I answer that question directly, I would just sort of clarify that with, I think it's easy to tar all consolidators with the same brush. I've known RFAs who have gone down the consolidator route and have got absolute horror stories about it. I know some who've gone down that route and their stories are much less horrifying. So it works for some people, it doesn't work for others. Our pitch effectively to people who want to exit their business, as to why they should come to Beckett's, is that because of our culture, because of the way we will continue to treat that client going forward, financial planners who merge with us are never going to find themselves in a situation where 12 months, 2 years, whatever later, they're walking down the road, they see their ex-client, and they think, oh, bloody hell, I've got to cross over here because it's absolute terrible state, and I took top dollar and I ran for the hills. And so it's more a case of people who want a good home for their clients, where that client will continue to feel as valued as they were by the person who built the business in the first place. That is the sort of firm that we're ideally after. I mean, Jason Green, you mentioned Green Rose, he undertook a lot of due diligence of other firms and other options out there. And he grilled us every bit as much as we grilled him, because he wanted to make sure that when he said to his clients, right, I'm going to sell to Beckett's and I'm going to retire, he wanted to know that his clients were not going to be, upset after the event, because he'd just passed on to someone who didn't care. So he was a great example of someone who really cared about his clients. Well, sorry, he does still care. He's not dead. I'm making sure he's dead. He cares about his clients. He's not part of the business, but he cares about his clients. And for him, he said that the culture of Beckett's and the way we treat our clients was the single biggest determining factor on him merging with us, rather than going with any of the other consolidators out there whose modus operandi and day-to-day business practices for clients may be somewhat different.
Fantastic. Well, excited to see how that develops for you. And yeah, Gavin, thanks so much for your time. It's great to chat.
And you, thank you.
From jet engines to space rockets, telephones to computers, the world has seen spectacular change in the last 100 years, and the pace of progress is getting faster and faster. From electric cars to the metaverse, drone deliveries to climate solutions and genetic sequencing, we're investing in the companies that are not just changing the world today, but are also shaping the future. The Scottish Mortgage Investment Trust, managed by Baillie Gifford. Invest in progress. Capital at risk.